Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on Hometown to Hollywood is Brooke Beiler. Brooke runs the Brooke Beiler Acting Studios, which provide classes for young actors age 4 to 17, from beginning to advanced levels, as well as self-taped auditions and voiceover services. The studio's in San Diego County, and the majority of her students are working in Los Angeles. Brooke, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Bonnie.
So, can you explain your studio's approach to acting? What's your philosophy in teaching young actors?
Absolutely. My philosophy is entirely predicated on self-esteem. So I feel like when you put the right things first, everything else falls into place. So our students are, for lack of a better phrase, kicking butt in the industry right now because they are healthy, well-balanced, normal kids that have self-esteem and confidence, therefore putting their best foot forward and allowing their personality to shine. And I think that really stands out to casting directors and directors.
I do too. I love that because that's always been one of my strong feelings about why it's never a waste of time to study acting, because you know you don't know where it's going to lead for sure. Mm-hmm. But wherever it leads, you're going to end up with a stronger sense of self-esteem and great people skills out of the deal if it's done right.
Right, 100%. And I feel like, too, you really do need to nurture at this stage in someone's life. You need to nurture their sense of self and self-esteem and self-expression. So the reason a casting director brings in, you know, multiple people into an audition is because everyone brings something different to the table. Everyone has different life experiences, different upbringings, a different personality. And if you don't kind of allow your full self to shine, and you clam up in an audition, or you're focused on the wrong things, then you're really doing yourself a disservice because you are what allow yourself to stand apart in an audition.
I love that. I love that. I've long had the kind of metaphor in terms of acting, you know, in terms of the way I look at acting is like, you are the light and the character is the gel that the light shines through that colors the light, but the light is always you. Mm-hmm. And so if you have the courage and the confidence to let that shine, literally, you will illuminate the character.
I love that.
It sounds like you are very much about nurturing that.
Yes. And actually I use a kind of a similar approach in explaining to our students that you are lending this character your body language, your voice, your facial expressions. So if you're trying to become someone else, then again, you're doing a disservice to the character this time because you're not allowing the character to fully express themselves through your life experiences, your personality, you know, your uniqueness. And again, that is why casting directors bring in so many different people, is to see what each person uniquely brings to the table.
I love that. That's really nice.
Thank you.
That's good. And it's true, too, because it's not, I mean, you know, the casting directors, they start with the headshots, and if they don't like what they see, they don't go further, they don't look at the resume or whatever, and they bring in whoever they bring in based on what they see on the headshot that they then looked further and saw the resume and they liked it. But it's not like we're just these suits of skin with faces showing up and all doing the same thing. Everybody really does bring something to it. And so
right.
I know there are a lot of actors out there who just, they might be very talented and passionate. But if they, as you say, clam up in the audition room, it doesn't matter because no one will ever see it.
Yeah. And I am such a huge believer that auditioning is mind over matter. You could be the greatest actor on the face of the planet. And if you get thrown off in an audition because of, there are so many reasons, you're sizing up the competition, the casting director isn't friendly, or they haven't eaten lunch, so they're not in a good mood. You know, it's so easy to take all of these things personally, and then all of the preparation we've done, all of the confidence we walked in with is now out the window, and our heart is beating, we're shaking, whatever it is, our mind is in the wrong place. So, and I write a lot of blogs on this. So much of auditioning is mind over matter, so that you can go in and fully be the most you possible. I had I used to have an acting coach that said, do not check yourself at the door, because so many actors do that. They are trying to predict what the casting director wants to see, which you can never know exactly what they want to see. So I see so many young actors try to copy other people or be like other people. And that is, that's such an unfortunate thing, because like we already talked about, you bringing the most you into the room, who you are as a unique person is what sets you apart, not becoming like someone else.
You know, it's really true. And I've told this story before, but when Dove got Liv and Maddie, or it wasn't Liv and Maddie at the time. She got this other character, Alana, because they completely rewrote it. But when she got the role that became Liv and Maddie eventually, she walked into that room and she told me just before she walked in, I know what they want me to do, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. And she says, because if I do it their way and I get it, I'm in trouble, because then I have to, like, conform to that all the way through, however long it lasts. But if I do it their way and I don't get it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, the only way I'm going to win is if I do it my way. And if I do it my way and they don't like me, fine.
Yeah.
And if I do it my way and they like me, great. You know? It's like, it's a win-win.
Yes.
And then of course she got it. And there was something about that confidence, I think, and also just being utterly true and not trying to, you know, squeeze yourself into some sort of artificial shape, that everybody, you can kind of smell that when people are doing that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure casting directors have a fine antenna for that one.
Yeah. And then you feel like you compromised all of your preparation and you compromised everything because maybe you do what you think they wanted and it's not what they wanted, or you don't get the job, and then you're kicking yourself because you weren't true to yourself.
Yeah. Lose-lose.
Right. So you may as well, you know, go in, you know, guns a-blazing, feeling like I'm going to be the most of myself that I can. I'm going to stick to the choices that I made, unless you have clear direction, you know, specifically from the casting director of an adjustment that they want to see. That's different.
Yes.
But you go in and you don't start second-guessing yourself. I see students in rehearsal, you know, we call it fully committing. Fully committing to the character. Don't hold back. That's the only way that you can go wrong, really, in an audition, is by holding back. But then they go to the audition and they start second guessing themselves. So their full commitment is now sort of a half commitment, and it doesn't come across like it should. So the best way to walk out of an audition feeling like I nailed that, even if I don't get it, is full commitment.
I love that. So this all started with the conversation of, you know, what's your approach to acting? So it sounds like your studio's approach to acting is about training actors to feel really comfortable and confident with that approach.
100%.
I love that.
Yes. And all of these things translate into life skills in the future. Whether or not they pursue acting as a career or for the long run, they're going to walk away with skills that they will take with them in their career, in school. I mean, even the concept of memorization, you know, you learn to memorize well naturally just by studying acting, and it's fun. And then you can look back, you know, a year later and realize that you became a master at memorizing without even realizing it, just by default. And all of these skills help kids in school focus. You have to be a good listener to be an actor. You have to be listening to your scene partner and responding to what they're saying. And all of this comes in handy in school. So I've now had my acting studio long enough to have the pleasure of seeing some of my students now graduate and go on to college and now start getting jobs. And it's so exciting to see these skills that they've gained translate into their, you know, real life, real world, job, school,
success, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a compelling reason to pursue this, no matter where it goes, because you can't know where it goes, but it's going to take you somewhere good. So how did you begin as an acting teacher?
Well, I got my theater degree at the University of San Diego. I started doing the drive from San Diego to LA before I even graduated. And then after I graduated, really hit the ground running. I was driving up there several times a week for training, auditions, jobs.
That's not a super short drive for anybody listening.
Especially in rush hour. I do remember vividly driving home. It was a 5-hour drive home in rush hour traffic. And then I was only like an hour away from home and I got an audition notice for the next day. And I just started crying because I needed to turn around and not even go home. And I always had, you know, extra clothes and audition wardrobe and everything in my car, headshots, resumes ready. So made the U-turn, drove back. And so, needless to say, over the course of time, I got incredibly burnt out. Living in San Diego, pursuing the industry in Los Angeles, I had a lot of amazing training. I had a lot of great experiences, but I got really ill. I was so burnt out. I got very sick. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I actually swore off the industry. I was so upset at how it damaged my health and my life and what I allowed it to do kind of to me. That I said, I have to take a break. But at that point, I didn't think it was going to be a break. I said, I'm not doing this again, because my husband's job and career was in San Diego. I knew we weren't going to pick up and move to LA. And I got a full-time job that it was a great job, you know, a 9-to-5. It was a really solid, great career job. And, couple months into it, acting had a hold of me, and I was like, okay, gosh darn it, I can't get away from it. I just miss it. I was craving it. I missed it. And actually, looking back, I am very glad that I took that complete break, because I got my answer of, I'll never be able to leave this behind. This is where my passion lies. There's never a question in my mind of like, well, what if I'd gone a different route, a different path? It proved to me that following your passion is where the success is.
Yeah.
So it also forces you to get creative. If you're really passionate about something, you find a way to make it work. So I told myself, well, if I'm going to get back into acting, I need to have something that's going to sustain me, that's flexible, and that I love, that is life-giving and energizing and not draining. Because even though I was burnt out with what I was allowing my lifestyle to be prior to taking a break from acting, I was also getting burnt out in my full-time job, because it was kind of, I hate to use the term, sucking me dry in a different way.
Yeah.
It was very tedious and not energizing by any means. So I decided, well, I think I'm going to give teaching a try. I could do private coaching and drive to students' homes, and I love kids. I have a great passion for nurturing their self-esteem, of course, and kind of sharing this passion with them. Yeah. So I had a lot of good memories of performing growing up. I grew up singing and dancing, and then acting came a little bit later. And I just had so many great memories in life from this. So I told my husband about it, and to my surprise, because, you know, here I'd gone from like full-time pursuing acting to a full-time job to now I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to change paths again. I'm going to go back to what I said I was going to swear off. How do you feel about that? And he said, I think you'd be great at teaching. I think 100% you should pursue that. So that was really exciting and a sign to me that that was sort of the right path to take. So I started privately coaching, driving to students' homes all around San Diego County. Never got burnt out on that, and that was very tedious.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I just was on fire with excitement and like seeing the transformation of when we'd start a session to when we'd end a session, and the kids understand a concept, apply it, and, you know, them light up, the light bulb go off, and that was just so exciting for me. So I did that, and then I really started seeing a need for training in San Diego of Los Angeles quality coaching,
yeah,
for kids that work in LA, because that was what I experienced, was driving to LA for training all the time for audition prep and the burnout. So I saw, oh my gosh, there's a need for this, because all these people have not just one kid that's in the industry. They have 3 or 4 kids that are all in school full time. Some of these parents work full time, and they're driving their kid to Los Angeles because they're making extraordinary sacrifices because their kid is passionate about it and they're willing to do it. And so I started adding services. I found a great group class coach to do group classes while I did private coaching, and it really just grew from there. I actually had 4 locations at one point in time that I sublet, so between Orange County and San Diego. And it was a lot of fun. There were so many kids who needed this. So then I actually had the amazing opportunity to take over an acting program at a performing arts school. So I took over the acting program at the Royal Academy of Performing Arts, and I run my business out of their acting studio. And so I kind of consolidated it, and we were able to take advantage of more resources that way, offer more classes more days a week instead of being so spread out. And we added voiceover services. So we have voiceover training, and we do audition recording for voiceover at my voiceover coach's professional studio. And it opened up a lot of opportunities for us. So yeah, it's exciting. I went from swearing off the industry to missing it so much to driving around to students' homes as a private coach. And now I have 6 amazing people that work with me on my team, teaching kids and are just as passionate about, you know, sharing the craft of acting with young people and inspiring them as I am. And they're all, you know, in line with my philosophy. We kind of share the same outlook on this industry and how it's, these are really formative years in kids and teens' lives, and we have an impact in that. And you get to choose, is that going to be positive or negative? And that is actually a frightening thing, is there are a lot of people in this industry who are a negative. They can be a negative influence in these formative years. So you do want to be really choosy with who you allow to influence your child.
I agree. It's really easy to be sort of swayed by what feels like glamour or what feels like, the kind of like glitzy, famey thing. And there's a number of studios that really capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the influence that they create in your child's life is a healthy one.
Right.
And that's critical, because that's what's lasting.
Right. And we see on reality TV the judges that are incredibly harh. And we think that that's what coaching should look like. And it's not.
No, it's not. I personally really dislike that.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't, I mean, nobody needs that.
That doesn't bring anyone's, full potential out.
No.
And if anything, it causes them to clam up, doubt themselves, second guess themselves. You can get much further without that sort of influence.
I agree. And that's a philosophical difference, you know.
Yeah.
That's a legit one, but I share that one with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a really cool space that you work out of. I've had a chance to go down there and see it, which is really fun. You have a lot of different kind of acting classes mm-hmm. that you offer now at this point, because you've got this great location mm-hmm. and these six people working with you. What kind of classes do you have available?
Yeah, I already mentioned voiceover. Mm-hmm. We have voiceover. We have improv and on-camera classes, beginning, intermediate, and then an advanced on-camera class as well. And improv is something that I'm finding not a lot of people recognize the value in right away, because they don't know what it is, and it seems like a class where you just play games. But you would be amazed at how many auditions, particularly commercial auditions, require one to have some improv ability. Almost all the breakdowns say good at improv, you know, just, and that just means being a flexible actor and the ability to adapt on the spot and be witty and be present with your surroundings and circumstances, and engaging with that. So, you know, often you'll walk into a commercial audition with a group of people that you've never seen in your life. You have no idea what you're going to do in the audition until you're in the room and they tell you, okay, you guys are all at a party. Talk. Action. And improv really comes in handy. You know, to know, and improv, there are principles to improv. There are principles to, not all of improv is just about being funny, but there are principles to being funny. And there is structure and technique to being a good improviser. And that's also in the dramatic sense. It's actually really interesting. There are quite a few shows on television that we watch and don't realize a great deal of it is non-scripted. There's sort of a framework, and they may have a script, but the director is really open to seeing where the actors go with what they come up with in the moment.
I agree, and I've seen enough stuff filmed right now at this point where I can completely, you know, corroborate that. I mean, some of the funniest stuff that ends up on camera wasn't really scripted, but they loved it and they kept it. And I think some of my favorite directors encourage that, because they know that's where the real gold can be sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of casting directors and directors love actors who have improv skills. I mean, they look for it.
Yeah, they really do. It's a very in-demand skill, and it helps so much with auditioning, you know, not to mention obviously being on set and working, but just in an audition. And it really does boost self-esteem, because you then have this attitude of walking into an audition of, I can handle whatever comes at me. I can handle anything on the spot, because that's what improv is all about.
Well, exactly. I mean, and I know I used to think, you know, quite some time ago when we were still up in Washington, that improv classes were for people who wanted to do improv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, comedy.
Well, I don't want to do improv. Why would I take an improv class?
Right.
I want to be an actor.
Right. Exactly.
But seriously, because improv is also its own thing, you know, that you might go see.
Right.
But in fact, improv skills can probably help anybody no matter what you're doing, even if you're not an actor.
But I know that a lot of casting directors actually specifically look in the training section on a resume for improv. And that really determined, when I was interviewing, I was changing agencies at one point, and the commercial agent said, you have to have a improv credit on your resume from, you know, these various schools in this type of improv training so that you'll get called in more.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it really did increase my stats of getting called in.
That's so interesting. That's actually the first time I've heard that, but it makes total sense to me. That's really cool. So in addition to these classes, you also offer one-on-one private coaching mm-hmm. with young actors. How does your private coaching work? Do you offer coaching just in person, but you also do Skype, or how does that work?
Yeah, we do in-person private coaching, and we actually do it over Skype as well. So we Skype with people all over the world. And when I first started Skyping, I was skeptical because I thought, well, there's not the, you know, in-person kind of connection. And years later, I can speak to the fact that it is so effective and efficient and actually really helpful for a lot of people who have multiple kids that they're juggling, and trying to get their kid across county to a lesson is not realistic. And particularly for auditions that pop up same day or day before for audition prep, we Skype or FaceTime with students all the time in the car on the way to the audition to LA because, you know, they have several hours driving from San Diego to LA, and we'll be Skyping, prepping for a particular audition. So we do regular lessons that are just solely tailored specifically to that student's goals and needs. So it's sort of an accelerated form of training. And then we also do audition prep, both in person and over Skype. And I've been very pleasantly surprised. I have had students that I've worked with for years that I've never met in person, and it feels like we're best friends.
It's surprising. I have to agree. My daughter Claire teaches a lot of voice lessons over Skype, and people are like, you can do that over Skype, but you really can, and there's very little difference.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It really is. It really, I mean, you are still face-to-face looking at somebody.
Yeah, you're looking into each other's eyes.
Right. Yes. It's interesting. Technology is just amazing what it's capable of these days.
That's so, well, it makes what you offer available to people wherever they are, which is so beautiful.
Yes.
So who are some of the other teachers at your school? What kind of background do they bring to the classes?
Yeah, they actually large majority of them have their theater degrees, just like I do. One of them actually I went to school with, and we've been working together for years now. That's been a lot of fun. And they've all done theater, which, you know, good theater. And youth theater is very good, but there's sometimes a difference between, like the large youth companies that are giving kids an amazing experience and using their imagination and whatnot, but it's not necessarily focused on acting technique and the craft.
Training.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but having a theater background that really focuses on, the craft and quality training, this is, again, something that I used to do casting director workshops all the time, you know, at Actors Key, or there's Talent House Academy, Actors Link, those places. And some of the casting directors would say, I only look for actors with a theater background.
A ton of them say that.
Yeah. So, yeah, just because they're really focused on this in-depth, you know, scene study, character development, and all of this, and you get such a great, solid foundation of acting technique. So all of my coaches have a theater background. Then they all have on-camera training, most of them up here in L.A., some in San Diego, but mostly up here in L.A. And then they're all working actors. That's the best part. They're actively in the industry, knowing what casting directors are looking for, knowing what the current industry trends are, because they're changing frequently. I remember when, you know, headshots went from a hard copy to now it's all electronic. You go to a commercial audition, you scan a barcode.
I know.
You know, who would have known? If you're not in the industry, you wouldn't know that that's kind of industry standard. So it's really nice to have everyone being active as well. So occasionally we'll have a coach that has a class coming up, and one of us has to sub for them because they have an audition or they've booked a job. And it's such a cool business to be a part of, because you may be missing one class. They don't miss often. They try to work around their classes as best as possible. But everyone's cheering for you. Your students want to know how it went.
Did you get it?
Yeah, they want to watch it. You know, if you booked something, they're like, they're putting it on DVR so that they can, like, watch and cheer you on. It's really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, that's kind of ideal. So looking at your website, mm-hmm. you work with young actors age 4 to 17. Mm-hmm. Can they just sign up for your classes? Do they need to audition? How does that work?
Yeah, they can just sign up. The only class that has prerequisites is the advanced class, and we require at least a year of prior acting training. It doesn't have to be with us necessarily, but you have to know all of the basics because there's a lot of language that if you're not familiar with, you won't be able to adapt to the class really well. And there, our beginning and intermediate classes is actually split between commercial work and theatrical, film and television work. All of the classes include improv warm-ups and whatnot, and audition, mock auditions. But the advanced class is solely focused on theatrical work, on taking your character development to a new level of emotional depth. So that's not, even if they are more experienced actors, that's not always the best class if someone needs to focus a little bit more on commercial and whatnot.
Well, and thanks for clarifying that when people hear theatrical, if they haven't been in the industry very long, they think it means theater, but in fact, in the industry, theatrical tends to mean just film and TV.
Exactly.
So, and you need that. You need that to do a good job.
Yes, and we actually do a lot of theater audition prep in private sessions, but we don't have group classes for theater. But yes, our theatrical classes are film and television focused.
Exactly. Well, so speaking of, what do you think are some of the bigger differences between acting for live theater versus acting for film and TV, and what are some similarities?
Sure. Well, good acting is good acting, and yes, it's all based in sort of the same principles of truth-telling and finding a connection to your character, and there are a lot of similarities because acting, one of my coaches, she's like, acting is acting is acting. It doesn't matter, you know, what medium you're doing it through, but the logistics can definitely be different. And so I like to call it logistics because it's not necessarily your craft and the tools that you use to develop your character and all of that, but it's sort of the way that you you portray your character, if you will. So for theater, for example, you're likely trying to reach the back row with your energy and size and intention. But on camera, the camera catches a flicker of your eyebrow. you know, it catches literally everything. My acting coach used to say that the camera watches you think, which I love that.
Yes.
I love that. So she says the camera watches you think. So what are you going to be thinking about? If you're thinking about the wrong things, which is what we find often happens in auditions, is is that, you know, the actor becomes consumed with thinking about tension. I mean, all of these things that create tension. They're thinking about, what is the casting director thinking about me? Is my posture okay? Am I emoting enough? They're thinking as the actor, and you want to be thinking as the character. The character is living in the moment, watching the person they're communicating with going, well, what are they going to say to me next? And, oh, that really hurt my feelings. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's feeling that way. You know, you want to be thinking as the character. So taking your thought process off of the wrong things, putting them on the right thing, really helps your audition as well. A lot of it comes to auditioning too, because again, you're not going to get the job if the audition doesn't go well. And something I've found that's really challenging in auditions is the camera is like 10 feet away from you.
Yeah.
So that feels a lot like theater. And I find that our students and myself, when I first started, act the size of theater because the camera's on the other side of the room. You don't know that the camera's zoomed in and, like, you know, just right at your neck and head on a tight shot and seeing literally everything, and you're acting so big that you're out of the frame. You don't know that. But so what I would always do is pretend that my the camera, if it's commercial and I'm looking into the camera, or my scene partner, the reader, who's sitting at the table with the camera 10 feet away, yeah, and I'm trying to reach that reader with my intentions and my energy and emotions, I would always picture that they're like 2 feet in front of my face and act that size. What size would I be communicating with you if you were standing 2 feet away from me? You're not thinking about acting, you're thinking about communicating. So what size am I going to be if they're standing, if I'm communicating with someone who's basically right in my face? And that really, without focusing on the wrong things of, I need to be smaller, I need to make a certain gesture, all of those things are big no-nos. If you're focused on communicating with someone at a certain distance, it kind of brings everything, tones it down and is a little bit smaller for what you need. But all of the intentions are still there. I used to hate I feel like it's debilitating when someone tells you to do less. If an acting coach says, do less, do less. Well, what does that mean?
How do you do less?
Right. How do you do less? And then what does that mean? You know, less intention, less emotion, less. You don't want less of that. You want just as much. You want everything to be just as charged and full of life. So how do you, quote unquote, do less? You have to find some tools that help you do that without losing all of the important parts of your delivery and your character. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love that. I love that you're the first person I've heard talk about that issue where, you know, the camera probably really is a good 10 feet away. And so it feels like you have to project to it, but in fact, it's in your face. And right. So you've got that disconnect, that problem where it's actually an intimate thing and it really is reading your thoughts, right. But you're not behaving.
Right. It's challenging. I mean, in alignment auditions are very challenging for a lot of reasons, and mm-hmm. that is certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you can find a tool like that that helps you, it really, when I kind of like, I figured that out, I started having callbacks and jobs like pretty much immediately after that. It was an almost instant change.
That makes sense. Well, because the camera makes things so intimate, but mm-hmm. it doesn't feel intimate when it's that far away from you.
Right.
That is a fantastic thing for everybody to kind of take in. Well, we've been talking a lot about auditions all the way through here, but any other specific advice for actors approaching auditions, like mindset?
Yes. Mindset.
For example,
I have a lot of blogs on this. There are so many things that can be damaging to your mindset in an audition, particularly if you're sitting there in a waiting room for a long period of time. It's like a ticking time bomb of like, okay, keep that thought out. You know, don't size up that person that just walked out of the room. Oh, I heard the casting directors laugh through the door. They must love that person. They're going to book them now. I'm just, you know, why am I even going in? There's no hope. So, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but these are the thoughts that we battle.
It's true.
You know, or you hear the casting director be really frustrated behind the door, and then you start second guessing yourself and going, oh my gosh, like I don't want to have that reaction. What did that person do? They had a full resume I could see from the back. They looked confident. They looked like they knew what they were doing. And so how am I even going to live up to that?
Yeah.
So all of these second guessing thoughts come into mind. And I just always tell people, like we talked about in the beginning, be yourself, personality, all of that. Do everything you prepared for and do not think about the people before and after you, because you don't know what the casting director is looking for. You have no idea of knowing what that person did in the room. You just have no idea. And if you're judging a book by its cover because they looked competent and confident, you have no idea what they did, you know. And this is something I've heard from casting directors often too in workshops, is do not be needy. Don't be desperate.
That's huge.
It's like, it sounds simple, but we do want affirmation that we did a good job. You know, we want to know that we did at least somewhat of what they were looking for.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to know. Yeah. And they may say, good job. And that doesn't necessarily, you could have done a good job, but that doesn't mean you're going to get, you just, either way, negative or positive, you have to go in confident in yourself. And I actually have a tool for this that I teach a lot of our students, which is every time you go into an audition, set one personal goal so that you walk out feeling a sense of accomplishment. So that goal for beginners could be, I want to meet eye contact. I want to walk in and say hi. I want to talk loudly enough. I want to not move from my mark. For more advanced actors, it might be, I don't want to forget what my relationship with my scene partner is. I don't, you know, different things about character development. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. you're looking at a reader who's a stranger, you have no connection to. The reader may not even be meeting eye contact with you. They're probably not giving you a whole lot of acting to sort of react to. So you have to kind of create all of that in your character development. And it's easy to forget it when you're in the audition, you know, talking to a stranger.
For the 40th time. Right. And they're completely unplugged from it.
Totally. So maybe your personal goal is to, you know, like I said, remember what that relationship is like and be responding to that in your audition. So this gives the actor the control. Instead of looking at the casting director for the affirmation and knowing whether or not they did a good job, they walk out of the audition feeling confident with a sense of accomplishment, like I did what I went in and intended to do. And the reason I... We had a little cameo there from the dog next door.
Dog cameo.
Cue the bark. Okay. It's kind of like applause in a live studio audience.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with the dog.
So the reason I say only focus on one goal per audition is because I talked about earlier focusing on the right things and the wrong things. Well, if you're focused on all of these logistical things like eye contact, talking loudly enough, not fidgeting, and whatnot, all of a sudden you're focused on all the wrong things. If you have one thing in your mind, it kind of just sits there subconsciously and you don't have to acknowledge it and constantly be thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then if you continue to set these audition goals, the next thing you know, you've been on 3 auditions. You don't even have to think about talking loudly and clearly. Next thing you know, you've gone through several auditions, and then what you set your goal to be is now happening by second nature. So you're talking loudly enough, you're enunciating. Now you set kind of the next goal that you feel like you could be in control of, but not entirely focused on, to take your focus away from the wrong things. Maybe it's to go in with energy, like you're happy to be there. That can be a challenging goal for some people, especially if you've driven from San Diego, you're exhausted, you're hungry, you hit traffic, you couldn't find parking. You know, to just walk in with the goal of like, I'm going to leave that all at the door and walk in with a happy energy and make my goal to make their day. Then you do that for a few auditions, and the next thing you know, you always walk into an audition with that energy. So does that make sense?
I love that. I love that. And I know that a lot of actors have a hard time getting stuck in their heads.
Yes.
Like really stuck in their heads. And so, you know, having a single goal really is something you can have in the background that's not going to make you crazy with distraction. But you can probably also hit and have that sense of accomplishment. Because it's true. It's like there's so much that's out of your hands.
Totally.
You give it what you got and you walk away, and then the rest of it is out of your hands. Like, that's something that gives you a sense of control and accomplishment. I love that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, actors, we're our own harshest critics. Ugh. So we always walk out beating ourselves up usually about multiple things, which is, I write blogs on that too. Very, you know, it's not helpful. It's not a helpful thing that we do, but it seems to kind of just be the nature of the beast. But if you're focused on this one goal, then you silence everything else because you have a sense of accomplishment about that. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I like that.
So
I like that.
That way you're not focused on all the things you did wrong in your mind, because it's never going to be perfect. And this is one of the reasons I love acting, is acting is a reflection of real life. So nothing about real life is perfect. Why would we try to impose perfection upon ourselves when perfection is subjective anyways in an audition? What's perfect to one person is different to someone else is different to someone else. So that's why you have to be true to yourself once again to feel that sense of accomplishment and self-esteem is by not putting it in someone else's hands to determine it.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. I hope everybody's like taking this in whole. So what about taped auditions? Any hot tips for those? Because that's a different deal. You're at home, maybe you've got control that you don't have in the live room. You can do it 20 times if you feel like you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
or maybe you're not at home. Maybe you're at the studio.
Yeah, you're at the studio. We do self-taped auditions professionally, and plenty of people do them at home as well. You always want to have good lighting, a solid backdrop. There's definitely an advantage to having it done professionally, but, you know, it's interesting. We've done self-taped auditions for quite a while now, and I seem to find consistently that it is like the first take or the first few takes that are usually the best. But again, being our own harshest critics, when we have the control, sometimes it's a negative thing.
Yeah.
So we're like, let me do it again. No, I want to do it this way. No. Okay. And then 20 times later, you're way too in your head. You have all this tension now because you're focused on getting whatever this one thing was correct in your mind. And it just kind of progressively gets like less present, less real, and not quite as good.
And more canned feeling, I think, if you do it too many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would say tension is an actor's worst enemy. Get rid of the tension as much as you can. Self-taped auditions do help with that a lot because you don't have the pressure of a stranger sitting at a table staring at you.
That's true.
So it's actually a lot easier to get rid of tension. And just give it your best few first tries. See what you have first. Actually watch it back, because sometimes we actually have in our mind that it turned out a certain way, and when we watch it back, we realize, oh, actually, that was a lot better than I thought it was.
I'm actually a big believer in looking at your work on tape to figure out, like, did that land or not? Like, you think you're doing something, but it doesn't translate, or it does, and it's okay.
Right.
But you can't know until you see it.
Right. Exactly. And then make sure you have someone... you can create tension in self-taped auditions if you're working with, and I hate to say this, parents, but often parents will start directing, and this is really an important role for coaches, because parents have the best intentions in mind, but aren't trained actors, aren't trained directors, and not trained in the craft, and it really can create a divide in the parent-child relationship. So this kind of goes across the board, but, you know, it's more relevant for, like, self-taped auditions because the parent is usually filming and the reader, so they're the scene partner reading across from the kid.
Yeah.
So make sure you have someone in the room that is kind of qualified to be giving direction, if direction is needed, and someone that is not creating tension and creates a comfortable environment for the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be really tricky with the parents doing it.
And sometimes it's almost easier to go in front of a casting director, a stranger, if you can kind of keep the mind over matter concept going, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Even when there's a great relationship between the parent and the kid, and there often is, because
there is.
To work this hard together mm-hmm. can generally, and does generally in my experience, create an extra strong bond between mm-hmm. the parent and the kid. But at the same time,
yes,
that doesn't make you a director, and that can really stress out your kid if you get involved at that level.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And I love, I think you've put it so beautifully. You said that you are your child's secret sauce, mm-hmm. and that I 100% believe is that a parent can make or break this experience for a child. So just constantly be approaching this as a parent as, how can I make this experience, not break this experience for my child? Because again, they may not pursue acting as a lifetime career, but your relationship and the dynamic that is created through all of these experiences together will last for a lifetime.
Exactly. That's what will remain. Exactly. Well, so this is perfect. I was about to ask you about parents next. You inevitably deal with parents because you are coaching young actors.
Yes.
Any other advice for parents who are trying to help their young actors succeed in the business?
Yes. So I love this industry. It's so funny because there is a negative stereotype attached with kids pursuing acting often. And that's just really unfortunate, because I actually see this as an amazing training ground for life in a structured, safe environment where parents are able to teach their kids how to handle these situations that will ultimately happen in real life. Rejection, feeling like you need to people please, having, you know, a struggle with confidence, and nerves, huge, nervousness, huge. We deal with that in every audition, mind over matter, once again, but we're going to deal with that in life, in a job interview, in, you know, talking to a stranger, and whatnot. And so this is a perfect environment. My parents used to describe college as that a little bit, is like, you know, you're still sort of, like, under our wings uh-huh. in a bit, you know, we're still sort of, I don't know.
Well, you're in a kind of a nest almost still.
Right.
It's like sort of half in, half out. You're protected, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I just think that this industry is just such an amazing training grounds for life, because, it's really the parents' responsibility to help teach their kid how to handle these situations, and these situations may not happen to people until they are adults otherwise. So this is an amazing opportunity for parents to hold their kids' hand in a structured, protected environment and teach them how to fight through nervousness and fight through rejection. And, you know, even in this industry, we call it rejection, and I really don't like the term rejection.
I agree. It's not really rejection.
It's not personal.
Yeah, it is not personal. That's like my mantra.
But you have to teach your kid that.
Right.
Because it feels personal sometimes. So when you can teach your kid how to handle these things, they're therefore going to be able to apply these principles and mindsets in life towards other things that happen to them. That, oh, well, that teacher wasn't really nice to me, but it's not personal.
Yes, it's not about
right. Or I didn't get that job on the job interview. Well, it's not personal, mm-hmm. And that's just one example of the many things that we face in this industry that parents can help their kids learn how to handle and address in a safe environment. So I love that I love this industry for that reason. Also, my advice would be, make sure that whomever you're getting advice from is reputable, and that it's reputable advice. There are so many ways to waste time and waste money in this industry. And there are so many people just waiting to take advantage of people who don't know what they're talking about but have a passion.
Yeah.
You know, who really want it.
Yeah.
But don't know better. It's a very tricky industry, and a lot of this industry is not common sense. Yeah. You have to have someone tell you the ins and outs of it and the ways to pursue it legitimately. And it just breaks my heart every time I learn of, you know, someone who just wasted thousands of dollars, which is so unnecessary. And it really makes me mad. This is people's livelihood, that there are piranhas out there waiting to take advantage of. And just, it's so unfortunate that that even exists. So, and then just advice in general, because I've had, you know, I've had people base their sense of self on what a manager's feedback was, or on one monologue that they did for them. Well, maybe you were really nervous. Maybe you still do need a certain amount of training in this area. That's fine. But if you base your sense of self and your identity on someone's opinion, this is again where this industry comes in as a great training ground for parents to help their kids learn how and when to take opinions to heart. Because really, in this industry, you need to take it with a grain of salt. If it's valuable, take what's valuable, throw the rest out.
Yeah.
And you know, you do need criticism to know how to grow, but there is certainly a way to give criticism to help someone grow instead of diminish their self-esteem. And that's, you know, really a large, like, that's a big approach on how we approach training is delivery, how we deliver criticism and growth and improvement. So I've seen, and it even happened to me at one point. I got feedback years ago from a manager on a monologue, and, they said, no, like that's not ready. I don't like that one. That's not ready. And I really based my identity on that of like, okay, well, I guess this is where I'm at, you know? And then I performed it for several other people and got really great feedback from multiple people, very credible, very reputable. So you also have to consider people's intentions.
Yeah.
You know, is someone's intention that they kind of need to keep you under their...
Do they need to control you?
Right, right.
Is that what's going
right.
on?
Right. So
yeah.
It's tricky. And again, a great way to teach your kids how to kind of figure out what is reputable, what's credible, and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tricky thing to navigate through, even for adults, so much less, you know, kids.
Yeah.
And it's a great way, it's a great time in life to learn that with some help. And then my last piece of advice for parents is that this industry is a marathon and not a sprint.
Yes.
Yes.
There's not a week that goes by that I don't say that in some form or another, and it's often like a day or two.
Yeah. Yes.
It isn't going to happen overnight. I mean,
it's not.
You know, there's that 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10 or 100,000 person that it seems to happen overnight for, but then when you look closer, it's like, well, no, not really.
Even. Yeah, they did years of other things that never got any attention before that
exactly.
happened. Right. It's true. This all comes down to if you approach it as a sprint, you will burn out. And life provides burnout in so many forms way too often that to do it with this industry also with your children is just not smart. And you want to set an example for them on how to stay healthy and balanced and sane. And they're learning all of that from you. No one else is going to set boundaries for your children except for you, because that's not their responsibility. The agent's responsibility is to get as many auditions as possible. So they're serving their role. The casting director's responsibility is to bring in as many people that fit the role as possible to give the director the most options. It is no one else's responsibility but the parents to really set those boundaries. If you see burnout, I mean, you have to have a good open communication with your agent. And I find that asking for advice is often a good approach versus telling them this is what we're going to do. Like say, hey, listen, I see that my kid is just kind of not fully themselves right now and putting their best foot forward because they're exhausted. Are you okay with us booking out for a month and taking a little hiatus? And most of the time, I've never seen an agent say no.
We did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think an agent who represents young people especially is generally pretty sensitive to that. And if they're not, then maybe you need to question that relationship.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know?
I've seen across the board that agents, youth agents are huge proponents of balanced children. Mm-hmm. It's okay to live and breathe acting, in a sense, as long as your identity isn't tied to the highs and lows. But I've never actually met an agent that didn't want the child also involved in other things.
Yeah.
Because it makes them more marketable, too.
Exactly.
So, I mean, from a business sense, it makes sense. But just from a human sense, it makes sense, too. Because clients are useless if they're burnt out. You're useless to yourself if you're burnt out. and you can't sustain for the long term if you're burnt out. So, yeah, you need to have other outlets. You need to have hobbies. You need to have sports. And there are a lot of kids that book out for their season of sports. If they're a competitive baseball player, you know, they have to book out for that. But then in the big picture, it makes them more marketable as well.
It does. I mean, I was just talking to Dylan Playfair a couple of weeks ago, who's in Descendants 2, and he has a huge hockey background, and he's booked at least two different projects where that was called for, where that's part of why he was cast, is because he can play hockey.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can't fake that. You can't just, like, show up on the ice and
suddenly
say, yeah, I know how to play hockey.
Right.
I can't even stand up on my skates, but...
Hey, I listed it under my special skills because I did it once.
Yeah, but those special skills are a real deal, and they can make a difference in casting stuff.
Right, absolutely.
Plus, they make you a happier human being.
Yeah, and I have a student who I just adore, and I'm so proud of her as a person and as an actress. Her name's Alira Caldwell, and she's booking all the time, but she's booked a series regular role in The Toy Box, and then she was a series regular on Uncle Buck with Mike Epps.
Oh my gosh.
It just had its first season. It didn't get picked up again for contract negotiation reasons, but series regular in that. She's in a J.J. Abrams film that's in production. I mean, she's just doing great. She lives in San Diego, works up in L.A.
Wow.
And I interviewed her for my YouTube channel, and I kind of asked her the same question, like, what advice would you have and how do you handle rejection? You know, do you tie your identity to this? And she said, verbatim, I'm just so proud of her. She said, there are other things coming from a very successful actress who does live and breathe acting to a sense because she has such a passion for it. And she's auditioning frequently and working frequently. But if she doesn't get a job, her parents, well done parents, taught her there are other things in life. There are things that matter. Really focus on the things that matter. And then this is an amazing journey, an amazing ride that contributes to, you know, your experience in life. But I was just so proud of her when she said that. So
that's beautiful. How old is she?
She's 9. Right? She can teach all of us a few lessons, I think.
I love that. Well, yeah. So many of the kids that I know in this industry, I would say the vast majority are extremely, you know, grounded and wise and thoughtful and, you know,
yeah,
something about this work that encourages that, I think.
I think so, too. And I also think that those are the kids that are the most successful. That is why it comes back to my philosophy of approaching acting is if you are a healthy, well-balanced child with the focus on the right things, then you will be the most successful. That is so attractive to casting directors. We talked about not being needy and having the desperation because that just comes across in your persona of like, please accept me. Please tell me I'm doing good. You know, you can read that in someone's body language. And so to think, hey, there are other things. I'm here. I love this. I have a passion for this. Love to work with you. But I'm going to walk out of this room with a sense of accomplishment because I set a goal for myself. I feel good about it. And there are other things.
I love that. I love that. Well, this is perfect because this goes right into my next question. Mm-hmm. So advice for the kids themselves. What would you tell to someone who is like maybe 12 or 16, not anywhere near Los Angeles, you know, they live very far away from any major industry centers. What do you think some of the best ways are for them to move toward their dream, but right where they are right now?
Well, with technology nowadays, there's so much you can do just on your phone, you know, YouTube, Vine, all of these various things. And there have been a lot of people who've kind of created a little career out of it. It's amazing.
Seriously. Like Miranda Sings
has
a show now.
Exactly.
It's really fun, too.
So I know. It is. It's hilarious. So that's a great way. And then all colleges have, if they have a film department, community colleges and whatnot, they all need actors for their student films. And that's a great way to build a resume. So that's typically local. And now they're... often on like Facebook pages back when I was submitting for them. They were on Craigslist, which is a little sketchy.
Yeah, so, Craigslist, be very careful.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, really have to vet those well. So finding the Facebook pages or even calling the schools, I've had a lot of people just call the schools because some of these schools actually keep binders of headshots and resumes, believe it or not, that their film students can just flip through and then call people in for auditions. And if they don't have that, they can at least tell you where they list their audition notices. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to build a resume. And you really need to start building a resume with credits and training before you start pursuing the industry.
Yeah.
And it's like a double-edged sword, right? Like, I need credits to pursue the industry, but how do I pursue the industry. So
student films, yes, are a great way to start.
It's a really great way to start. You get the experience on set without a lot of pressure, and you get to learn all the ins and outs and the ropes. So I would highly recommend that. Training for sure. And again, with Skype, you can have such quality training from, you know, good quality coaches, even if you're in a small market or in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, you can get LA area coaching
right
from anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And then I would recommend pursuing like the closest small market to you. I mean, Dallas, New Orleans, Minneapolis, all of these, Atlanta, you know, they have booming little markets commercials, print, some local stuff. And now, I mean, so much shoots that is casted out here and smaller roles are casted in like New Orleans and Dallas in those markets.
Yeah, the CoStar stuff is going to be cast close to home.
Right. So much of the work nowadays is filming outside of California. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to start finding an agent there once you have a resume. You obviously want quality headshots. I guess that's just a given in my mind, but not everyone knows that. No candid snapshots, because the headshots are your calling card. That's your business card. An agent or casting director looks at that and says, this person looks like they fit this role, or the agent says, this person looks professional, first of all, knows what they're doing, and secondly, I don't have anyone like this on my roster, so I'm going to call them in. They get so many submissions that they're only going to take the professional one seriously.
Yeah,
it's a business for them, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately, but it's a business in the sense, unfortunately for some of us, because we may submit a candid snapshot going, I'm really talented, but for them, it's a business. This is how they pay their bills. This is their livelihood and how they support their families. So they have to take it very seriously.
Well, and you're competing with other actors who do have professional headshots. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It is a competition at a certain level.
And it's a saturated field. Mm-hmm. So in order to put your best foot forward, that's necessary. And then now with self-taped auditions these days, you know, you can, if you're at that point where you can get an agent in a big market. I had a student for a while in Dallas who had an LA agent, and their agent would just submit them for jobs theatrically, because commercials you typically need, you know, to be in person. But would submit them theatrically only if they would accept self-tapes. He would send in self-tapes all the time. He flew out for a couple of callbacks, and he was booking some pretty big stuff. So now with the advent of self-taped auditions, you can, once you're ready, kind of pursue a bigger market.
Yeah, if you have access to it through an agent, for example.
Right,
right. Yeah. Any final thoughts for young actors or parents of young actors who are hoping to make a career in film and TV?
I think it's just an absolutely amazing journey, again, that nurtures life skills and self-esteem with the right people, choosing the right people to influence, to have influence in your child's life. And I really encourage parents to be educated with reputable advice.
Yeah. No, pay attention to who you're getting your advice from. It's really important.
Right. And then as you educate yourself with reputable advice and reputable people, then just enjoy this journey with your child and use it, like I said, as a training ground for life to help them learn how to cope with, manage, you know, different scenarios and situations. Because there aren't a lot of things like that in life where you get to do that. And you're the perfect example, because you and Dove spent hours in the car, you know, driving around, having conversations, like you said, you never normally would have had.
It's true.
Had you not been stuck in a car together for several hours.
It's true. No, it honestly, I mean, we've always had a really strong relationship, but it absolutely, the incredible intense time we had to spend together through the zillion auditions and then all that time on set over the years, it made us grow that much closer.
Yeah.
It's very special.
It is. It really is. And that actually reminds me that there are a lot of times when the parent is very nervous for their child, and rightfully so, for an audition, or devastated when their kid, it feels very personal. Mm-hmm. This is your precious child who, you know, got quote unquote rejected, if you will. And I would really advise parents to kind of keep that to themselves, because your child is learning how to cope with this through the way that you handle it.
I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah. So, and it's unfortunate, and it's not intentional by any means, but I have seen multiple times where a kid will associate their parents' pride in them or acceptance of them based on whether or not they get jobs, or how their parent reacts to, you know, there are some really exciting things that our students go out for, and it's very exciting. Everyone gets really invested in it and excited about it, and it is disappointing if it doesn't work out, but it's just, at this stage in life, for kids and teens, it's very important for them to know that your pride in them, your acceptance of them, and everything is not tied to this industry at all. There are other things, as Alira Caldwell says, and that's just very important for them to know.
I love that. That is so in alignment with everything that I believe and that, yes, I've experienced. And I just want to say, you know, for all the young adult actors who are listening to this podcast, everything that we're saying here goes just as well for you too. Mm-hmm. This isn't just about, you know, parents. By the time you're on your own and pursuing this, if you are, this applies just between you and you.
It does. But actually, it's even a little bit more challenging, because you are now giving yourself pep talks. You, right, are now teaching yourself how to cope with and handle it and have mind over matter, you know, when you're walking into auditions, to, you know, not be thrown off with all of the things that can come into your peripheral, and damage either your self-esteem or your solid audition. So it's even more challenging, but it's a very fun ride. And I will say, I have developed a much thicker skin and more confidence in front of strangers, and, you know, all of these skills that I never would have gained had I not pursued this industry. So, and if you are a young adult actor, it's really important to have a network, a support network around you to support each other. Be very careful, though, who you allow to influence your mindset. Because if you are commiserating with other actors about how, you know, you can't get a call back and this industry is so corrupt and they're just looking for such and such type of person and all of that, you're allowing that to then to guide your reality, mm-hmm, and your perception of this industry. And because the camera watches you think, and because walking into an audition has everything to do with your mindset and your persona and your body language, what you're thinking and your perception of reality is incredibly important. So it's almost better to surround yourself with people who have been there, done that, and are actually further ahead of you and can mentor you, versus just having a support network of peers. They both have their places, but I can't talk highly enough about having mentors. Does that,
yeah,
make sense?
Yeah, no, that's brilliant advice.
Yeah.
That's been true for me in my whole life too, regardless of whatever industry you're talking,
absolutely,
about. But I think it's especially important in this industry. Mentors and people who, you know, have a positive outlook, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are gonna be there to support you and not, you know, bring you down.
Right.
This is a challenging thing to do.
It
and,
is.
Everybody needs as much encouragement and support as possible.
Yeah. And props to all of you who are pursuing this industry, because it is not an easy industry. And it takes a whole lot of guts to do it. And so I commend all of you for having the bravery to do so. So keep putting one foot in front of the other, step by step. You'll look back in a year or two and not believe how far you've come, even though when you're in the present, it seems like you're stuck and you're not making progress and moving forward. You look back and realize, oh my gosh, look at how far I've come and what I've done since then.
I love that. I love that. Thank you, Brooke. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us how people can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is my name, brookebyler.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-E, B as in boy, Y-L-E-R.
And I'm going to interrupt you. You've got a, yeah, blog on that too, right?
I do have a blog on that page. And there's a lot about nurturing self-esteem, mind over matter for auditions, and then just a lot of helpful tips on those blogs. And then I have a Twitter account at BB Acting Studios, and then Instagram is actually the same, BB Acting Studios, and Facebook is Brooke Byler Acting Studios. So we hope to connect with you all. Please don't hesitate to reach out and ask questions. We actually have a parent seminar every year. Bonnie taught last year. She's amazing.
Really fun.
She's amazing. And definitely read her book if you haven't, because Bonnie is just the most incredible resource I could possibly recommend to parents. And I'm not just saying that because she's present in the room.
Oh, thank you,
Brooke. She truly is the most incredible resource for parents and young actors as well. So, reputable, trustworthy, with everyone's best interest in mind.
Thank you so much. Yes. That's so kind of you.
So we do parent seminars, and then we have a showcase where we get to perform in front of agents and casting directors and get feedback from them. So that's really exciting for our students, where they get feedback on how the agent, you know, perceives their type and skill level, headshots, everything. It's a really great educational day. And then the casting directors teach workshops. So commercial workshop on auditioning. And then in the other room at the same time, we have another casting director teaching on theatrical auditioning. And it's just a really fun experience. And then I think you pretty much covered everything we do. Our I really think that our classes have a lot of value also to the parents, because we've implemented a lot of tools that we didn't have previously based on parents' feedback. Of the parents feel like they don't know what's going on in the room. You know, they drop their kid off, their kid comes out and had a great time, and they say, well, what did you do? And they're like, oh, well, nothing.
You know? Kids are not like, how was your day? Fine.
Yeah, my day was fine. So we implemented some various things where we have parent visitation every few weeks, where the parents get to come into the last 20, 30 minutes of class and watch what they've been working on. We have a twice a year recital where the kids get to perform in front of about 100 people, no agents or casting directors, just merely to showcase what they've been working on and get the experience of performing in front of a large audience. We also do evaluations twice a season, where we get to write out, the coaches all write out what growth they've seen in the kids specifically, and then what areas they're working on. So we've tried to kind of implement these tools too, so that parents feel a part of this journey and not just drop their kids off and then you know, don't ever hear anything from us. We want them to be very much a part of this.
That's nice, because so often you feel like you're working so hard to do so much to support your kid and what they want, but like you can't go in, you can't see how they audition.
Right.
You don't get to see them in their acting classes. Right. It's like you're just always sitting out in some room somewhere going,
you get to chauffeur.
How's
and that's
it going?
It.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're like this glorified, not even glorified chauffeur.
I know. It's true. With a fast food bag in the passenger seat because you guys were running late, you know, whatever. So it's definitely nice to have them involved because, you know, they are such a big part of this journey. And that's a lot of what you talk about too, is that the parents are such a big part of this journey. They need to be a part of it. They're not just pulling out the checkbook every time, you know, they need to do training or pay for the gas to chauffeur their kid everywhere. So
new headshots again.
New headshots again. Yeah. We also, as an additional tool, have filming days where kids bring in their own device, iPad or phone, tablet or phone, and we film what they're working on. And it's really cool because they get to keep it on their device and then monitor their own progress. So they get to bring it home for you to see what they're doing on camera, not just in a live performance during parent visitation, but see what they're doing on camera. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, they'll do another filming day and they get to compare the two. And then 3 weeks later, and then you're a couple months in and you get to see the before and the after. And it's a really cool tool for the parents to see and be a part of, but also just for the child to see what their hard work is doing to pay off.
Mm-hmm. That's nice, because so much of acting is ephemeral and you're like, am I getting somewhere?
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing it right. Am I?
That's beautiful. Well, yes. Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. It's really my pleasure, and I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA.
just go to HollywoodParentsGuide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.